Imagine, just for a second, that a major corporate bank already knows you're going to apply for a multi-million dollar commercial loan. And they know this before you've even, open up a spreadsheet to run the numbers. They know the specific type of financing you're considering. They know the internal pain points your finance team is dealing with. And before you even pick up the phone to call a broker, a highly tailored, incredibly specific proposal just lands in your inbox, offering exactly the terms you didn't even realize you needed yet.
I mean, it honestly sounds like corporate espionage, but it's actually just the current reality of top-tier digital strategy.
It really is. Welcome to The Deep Dive. We're thrilled you're joining us today because our mission for this conversation is to completely deconstruct how modern businesses, specifically those massive institutions in the banking, financial services, and insurance sectors, the BFSI space, how they actually generate growth and acquire new clients right now in Q2.
Yeah. And spoiler alert, it has absolutely nothing to do with those outdated spray and pray sales tactics we're all so tired of.
Exactly. The shift happening right now is... well, it's profound.
It is. We're moving away from brute force volume and moving toward predictive algorithmic precision.
Right. And our primary guide for this exploration is a March 2026 Insight report published by Technocratic Digital, or TIQ Digital. It's titled Autonomous Finance and Intent Data, Scaling Customer Acquisition in Q2.
It's a great report.
Yeah, it really is. And whether you're listening right now or sitting in the C-suite mapping out your revenue strategy, or maybe you're leading a growth team, or honestly, if you're just fascinated by the hidden mechanics of how the digital economy actually works, we're going to look under the hood of this transition.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's unpack this, because to truly understand how these financial institutions manage to generate high-value leads at scale today, we need to examine the spectacular failure of the old playbook.
Oh, yeah.
The report doesn't pull any punches when it comes to traditional outbound marketing.
No, it doesn't. It's a fairly brutal assessment, honestly.
Yeah.
The source material explicitly states that cold calling and mass generic email blasts in the BFSI sector are functionally dead.
But, okay, I want to push back on that right out of the gate.
Seriously?
Well, whenever I hear marketers declare something dead, my skeptical radar goes off.
That's fair.
I look at the strategic comparison table in the report, right? The traditional versus intent-driven breakdown. Under traditional, it shows conversion rates for cold outreach are historically abysmal, like less than 1% to 2%.
Right. They are terrible.
But let's look at the math for a second. If a major bank buys a list of a million executives and blasts them all, I mean... even 1% of a million is 10,000 potential leads.
True.
And if it costs almost nothing to send an email, is it really that bad? Don't executives eventually bite if you cast a wide enough net? Doesn't casting the widest net possible still generate enough numbers to justify the tactic?
So that is the exact trap that legacy marketing departments fall into.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The logic seems sound on paper, sure, but the reality of modern enterprise sales completely dismantles it. The report's FAQ section addresses this directly.
Okay, what do they say?
Well, C-suite executives and top finance managers, they don't view generic blasts as a neutral numbers game. They view them as a cognitive burden. It's pure spam.
So it's not just that the 1% converts, it's that you're actively alienating the other 99%.
Precisely. You are burning your brand equity. Let's look at the actual mechanism of why it fails.
Okay.
Imagine an enterprise CFO is managing complex, highly specific operational fires. Say, currency fluctuation impacts on a European supply chain.
A huge headache.
Right. And if you send them a generic pitch for a corporate card program on a Tuesday afternoon when they're actively dealing with Forex volatility, they don't just ignore you. They subconsciously categorize your institution as irrelevant.
Oh, wow. Out of touch.
Exactly. It fails because it lacks contextual relevance to the specific moment of need.
So you're basically proving to the prospect that you don't understand their business.
Yes. And beyond the brand damage, the internal economics are just terrible. Because your conversion rate is so low, your sales cycle velocity grinds to a halt.
Right. That makes sense.
You're paying teams of sales reps to chase down completely unqualified leads, and that leads to skyrocketing customer acquisition costs.
So if buying massive lists and firing off a million emails is out, how do these institutions fundamentally change the way they generate pipeline? I mean, how do they find the people who actually want to buy without spamming the ones who don't?
The alternative is entirely built around what the report calls intent data.
Okay, intent data. It sounds sophisticated, but what are we actually talking about under the hood? Like, how are we tracking intent?
It comes down to monitoring the digital exhaust that companies leave behind when they're trying to solve a problem.
Digital exhaust. I like that.
Yeah. The source defines intent data as behavioral indicators. So things like content downloads, website visits, search queries, and content consumption patterns across the wider internet.
Right. But an enterprise CFO isn't exactly Googling, you know, I need a new bank, and putting their personal email into a web form.
No, definitely not.
So mechanically, how is a financial institution tracking this anonymous behavior and tying it back to a specific target account?
That is where the technology has evolved dramatically. It's not just about tracking cookies on your own website anymore.
Okay, so what is it?
Modern intent data platforms utilize reverse IP address resolution and massive B2B identity graphs.
Give me a real-world scenario of how that works. I need a picture of this.
Sure. Let's say a mid-sized manufacturing company is starting to worry about equipment financing.
Okay.
Multiple people from that company's corporate network, maybe the VP of finance, the operations director, or procurement manager, they all start reading articles on Forbes about heavy machinery leasing.
Right.
They're downloading white papers from industry sites, searching for varying interest rate structures.
But they haven't visited your specific bank's website yet.
Right, they haven't. But these intent data networks aggregate those behavioral signals across thousands of third-party sites.
Oh, wow.
They see a sudden, anomalous surge in research around equipment financing originating from these specific IP addresses associated with that manufacturing company.
Okay, so the system flags it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Your marketing platform ingests this data, cross-references it with your target account list, and suddenly that account lights up on a dashboard.
That's crazy.
You now have quantitative proof that this specific company is in a highly active buying cycle.
I love that framing. It's like traditional marketing is throwing darts while blindfolded, whereas using intent data, it's like having a heat-seeking missile.
Yeah.
You only spend your energy and capital to generate an outreach campaign when the target is already glowing with interest.
That is a highly accurate way to visualize the mechanism, yeah.
Yeah.
The paradigm is completely reversed. Instead of guessing, revenue teams prioritize accounts exhibiting high buying activities right now. The report emphasizes that institutions leveraging this data operate surgically. They always stay ahead of competitors who are still blindly throwing resources at static lists.
But hold on, this brings us to a huge mechanical problem.
Okay, what's that?
Tracking this digital exhaust to figure out who is actively researching a problem is incredible. But knowing that our hypothetical manufacturing CFO is looking for equipment financing at 2 a.m. is only half the battle, right?
Right.
If your automated system just fires off a generic, here are our equipment financing rates brochure, aren't you still just spamming them just with slightly better timing?
Yeah, that's a great point.
How does the institution know exactly what to say to generate a meaningful response?
That is the crucial pivot in the report. Identifying the target is useless if the value proposition doesn't perfectly align with their immediate reality. And this is where the strategy moves from just marketing tactics to a fundamental shift in financial operations. They introduce a concept called continuous accounting.
Continuous accounting, which honestly sounds like an absolute nightmare for a bookkeeper. But what does it mean in this context?
Well, traditionally, financial intelligence is batch-driven. A bank or a corporation closes its books at the end of the month or the quarter, runs the reports, and looks backward to see its position.
Right, very standard.
Continuous accounting completely replaces that. It relies on cloud-based ERP systems and automated ledgers to provide real-time, 247 visibility into the institution's cash flow, risk profile, and operational liquidity.
Okay, so the CFO of the bank has a live dashboard of exactly how much capital they have to deploy at any given second.
Yeah.
That's great for the finance team, but what does that have to do with the marketing department trying to generate leads?
Everything. Because the report details what happens when you build an API layer between that live continuous accounting data and your marketing automation platforms.
Wait, you're telling me a bank's core financial ledger is talking directly to its marketing software?
Yes, exactly.
Isn't that incredibly dangerous? Letting marketing campaigns dynamically trigger based on live liquidity data?
It would be, if it were manual. But there are strict algorithmic governance protocols in place.
Okay.
The marketing software isn't pulling individual customer data, obviously. It's pulling aggregated risk capacity and liquidity metrics.
Okay, so how does that play out in an actual campaign? I need an example.
Sure. Let's say your bank's real-time continuous accounting system detects a sudden surplus in liquidity and a highly favorable shift in internal risk capacity for commercial real estate loans.
Okay, so they have money to lend for real estate.
Exactly. Simultaneously, your Intent data platform detects a surge of real estate developers actively researching bridge loans.
Here's where it gets really interesting.
Right. The system dynamically aligns your firm's current capacity with the market's current intent. Marketing doesn't have to wait for a quarterly strategy meeting to push real estate loans. The budgets shift automatically.
Wow. And this is where the AI personalization comes in, right? Yeah. The report is very specific about this. When we say AI personalization, we are not talking about dynamically inserting a company name into the subject line of an email.
Not at all. That is elementary automation.
Mm-hmm.
According to TIQ Digital, true AI personalization is the process of a generative AI engine analyzing thousands of disparate data points about the prospect's behavior.
Thousands.
Yes, thousands. And then cross-referencing it with the live financial capabilities of your own institution and automatically generating bespoke, highly individualized solutions.
What's fascinating here is how this completely obliterates the traditional B2B purchase process.
It does.
You aren't pitching a static product catalog anymore. If the intent data shows that a prospect is researching equipment financing and they also recently downloaded a white paper on mitigating currency risk, The AI dynamically generates a proposal that bundles equipment financing with a Forex hedging strategy. And it's instantly priced according to your bank's continuous accounting data for that exact hour.
Exactly.
Huh.
You are providing hyper-relevant, perfectly timed information to the exact stakeholders who need it. It's no longer marketing. It's automated, consultative problem solving.
That's wild.
And this significantly enhances the conversion rate across every digital touch point because the prospect feels like you are reading their mind.
All right. I am sold on the theory. The combination of intent data, continuous accounting, and AI personalization is incredibly potent.
Very.
But theory only goes so far. Let's talk about execution.
Okay.
If I am the chief revenue officer at a massive, heavily regulated insurance firm or a legacy bank, how do I actually build this machine? How do we take all these complex data streams and use them to generate actual clients without the whole system collapsing under its own weight?
The execution model detailed in the report is referred to as high-velocity ABM. Or account-based marketing.
Let's break that down, because ABM is not a new concept. The idea of treating an individual target account as a market of one where you create bespoke campaigns just for them, yeah. I mean, that's been around for a long time.
It has. But traditional ABM relies on intense manual labor. You have sales teams, researching executives, marketers handcrafting slide decks, analysts manually pulling industry reports.
Right.
Because it is so resource-intensive, a firm can only realistically execute traditional ABM on maybe 50 or 100 top-tier accounts at a time.
Right. It simply doesn't scale.
But high-velocity ABM uses the AI engine to act as an orchestration layer. It takes the bespoke personalization of traditional ABM and pairs it with massive digital automation.
Oh, I see.
When the intent data flags an account, the AI automatically initiates tailored web experiences, dynamic landing pages, and highly specific messaging flows for multiple different stakeholders within that single target account all at once.
So wait, the CFO at the target company gets an automated message focused on risk and ROI, while their IT director at the same company gets messaging focused on implementation and security.
Exactly.
And all of this is generated dynamically without a human salesperson having to manually write a single word?
Precisely. It allows you to deliver the white glove experience of traditional ABM, but across thousands of accounts simultaneously.
Wow. And there is a massive foundational piece to this puzzle that the report spends considerable time on, and I think it's easy to overlook when we're talking about autonomous AI.
Oh, definitely.
Even if your high-velocity ABM system perfectly times a highly personalized outreach, what is the very first thing that CFO is going to do when they see your brand name?
They were going to open a new tab and search for you.
Exactly. They're going to validate your authority. And this is where the report dives into SEO and digital architecture. Mm. Now, most executives know they need to rank on search engines, but the report digs into the mechanics of why technical architecture matters so much in an AI-driven landscape.
It is absolutely critical because modern search algorithms, especially generative AI search, they don't just look for keywords on a page anymore.
Right.
They crawl the underlying hierarchy of your website to map out entity relationships and validate your institutional authority.
Break that down for us. What does an algorithm looking for entity relationships actually mean for a bank's website?
Think of it this way. If your high-velocity campaign pitches supply chain financing, the search algorithm needs to confidently verify that your institution is a true authority on that exact topic.
Makes sense.
The report outlines that this requires producing useful, people-first content that matches user intent. But technically, your website's architecture must be flawlessly logical.
Flawlessly logical.
Yes. You need clean schema markup, descriptive anchor text linking your internal concepts together, and references to reputable offsite sources.
So if your site is just a messy collection of marketing brochures dumped onto a server, the AI crawler can't connect the dots.
Exactly.
It can't map your expertise. And if the algorithm doesn't trust your authority, it certainly isn't going to surface your content when that CFO goes looking for validation.
Exactly. And the report notes one absolute non-negotiable: the digital platform must be strictly mobile friendly.
Oh, of course.
Because if that perfectly timed, hyper-personalized AI outreach generates a click from a CEO checking their phone in an airport lounge, and they land on a clunky, unresponsive page.
Oh, the illusion of technological sophistication shatters instantly.
Yeah, the trust evaporates.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, looking at the sheer complexity of integrating intent data APIs, continuous accounting ledgers, AI personalization engines, and technical SEO architecture, it becomes very obvious why the report strongly advocates against trying to build this internally from scratch.
Oh, 100%, especially in the BFSI sector.
Yeah.
You're dealing with incredibly strict regulatory frameworks, data privacy laws, compliance standards.
Right. You can't just adopt a move fast and break things mentality when you're routing live financial data through a marketing automation tool. I mean, the compliance officers would have a heart attack.
Oh, they absolutely would. Which is why partnering with a specialized digital marketing agency like the authors of the report, Technocratic Digital is positioned as a strategic necessity.
That makes total sense. A specialized agency brings the deep industry experience required to navigate BFSI regulations. They understand how to build secure data pipelines, how to construct a compliant tech stack, and crucially, how to accurately track the return on investment across these complex, multi-touch AI campaigns.
Yeah.
It really requires a deep nexus of finance, data science, and digital growth expertise.
It is the fundamental rewiring of the institutional nervous system.
Beautifully put.
We have covered a tremendous amount of ground today, pulling apart the mechanics of this TIQ digital report. Let's synthesize this for the listener.
Sounds good.
The ultimate takeaway here is that if an organization wants to generate sustainable growth in today's digital economy, they have to abandon the old metrics of volume and activity. It is no longer about how many calls you make or how many emails you blast.
No, those legacy tactics are actively eroding your market position.
Right. Winning requires algorithmic precision.
Right.
It means utilizing intent data to read the digital exhaust of your market, identifying exactly who is researching a solution.
It means linking continuous accounting data to your marketing stack so you know exactly what your firm can offer in real time. It means letting generative AI analyze those signals to craft hyper-personalized solutions. And executing it all through high-velocity ABM built on a flawless digital architecture.
Exactly.
So what does this all mean? Why does this matter to you, the listener, even if you aren't running a global bank or an insurance conglomerate?
Because the underlying physics of business have changed. Whether you're selling enterprise software, pitching a startup to venture capitalists, or even just navigating your own career advancement, the lesson is universal relevance and precise timing will defeat volume every single time.
Wow, yes.
The market rewards those who listen closely to the quiet signals of intent and deliver exact value at the moment of friction.
It makes you look at every single digital interaction completely differently.
It truly does, which brings up a secondary implication of everything we've discussed today. This raises an important question.
Oh, I like where this is going.
If we know that specialized agencies and these autonomous AI systems are currently operating at this level, analyzing millions of behavioral data points, mapping reverse IP addresses, tracking every white paper you download, every late night search query you type, and every article you linger on, just to perfectly time a customized proposal.
It forces you to look in the mirror?
Yes.
How much of your own personal and professional intent data are you broadcasting out into the digital ether right now?
Exactly.
And how is that invisible trail of data quietly working behind the scenes, algorithmically generating the exact digital reality, the exact targeted messaging that you experience every single day?
It is entirely possible that right now you're the one glowing red hot on someone else's dashboard.
It's a fascinating, if slightly unnerving, thought to leave on. Keep an eye on your digital exhaust out there. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the mechanics of modern growth. We will catch you next time.